Well, good morning again. Hey, isn't it great to have spring here a little bit? It's nice. We had a baseball game up in Chalice on Friday, and we all got sufficiently scorched, which is not bad, right? Well, some of us, it was pretty bad. Some of us actually put sunscreen on, so we're good. But it was nice. Like, it was like 80. That was a mic drop, by the way. Got it? Did you get that? It was like 80 degrees, 81, 85 degrees, somewhere in that neighborhood. So it was nice. Well, let me get where I need to be here. So we've been talking about, last week we started a kind of a series talking about truth and the truth over trend, and the trend being the world and the ideas that come out of the world that are, well, trendy. You know, we all know what trends are. Trends are the ideas that really come and go, and everyone is influenced by these trends and these cultures, including you and I as believers. We can be influenced by those. So how do we go about our daily lives, you know, without being influenced by the current trends, or at least by recognizing what is a trend and really what is truth? And it is knowing the truth so well that you can identify the lie, even when it is, you know, sometimes really try to mesh it in there with the truth. Today we're going to talk about, last week we talked about the priority of truth in our lives and how God's word, you know, is really our source of truth, isn't it? Christ is our source of truth. God's word, the Holy Spirit, is the source of our truth, and how truth really should be yours and my priority. That is really where our focus really needs to be on. That should be the foundation of our worldview, of our ideas that we have, is the priority of God's word and the priority of that truth. Today I want to talk about living out that truth. We see how truth is our priority. Okay, we've seen how that should be the foundation. Well, how do we live out the truth that we know? How, in a practical way, day to day, you know, beginning this moment right now, and throughout the week, how do you live out that practical truth? And that's what we want to talk about today. You know, when we put our faith in Christ, we turn from worshiping false gods. We turn from worshiping. And it may not be, you know, consciously where we're worshiping these things, but in reality, that priority of our life is not God. And so we worship whatever that priority is. And then we whether it's successes or money or whatever it is. And then we become saved and we offer our lives in service to God. And this is an act of gratitude and worship to the one who saves us. It's an act of gratitude and worship, the reason why we act the way we do. So here we get clued into, and we're going to be in Romans chapter 12. So if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Romans chapter 12, we're going to be in verses 1 and 2. And in those two verses, we kind of get clued into the truth that we grow in wisdom, we grow in discernment of who God is and His purposes and the good things in our world when we allow Him to transform our minds. When we allow the truth of God's word, when we allow Him to transform our minds, we see that priority of truth there. And then when we take that priority truth, and how do we translate that and transform our minds from the truth into actual living out what that truth is? So as we grow, we no longer desire to fit in whatever the world trends are. You know, as we grow closer and closer, and we were talking this morning about how, you know, our position in Christ is right here, but our, where we are at as believers is right here. Our condition is right here. And we always want to live our life so that our condition right here is moving closer and closer to our condition. And that begins by that transforming of our mind, seeing what God says about us and who we are. We'll get into that in a minute. We begin living out our truth in our daily lives. So let's look at that. Romans chapter 12. If you're there, great. If not, I'll have it right here. Hey, there it is. Living out truth in a day-to-day way is worshiping God. worshiping God. Now, when we think of worship, you know, what are the things we think of? We think of, well, you come into a church building and you sing songs and, you know, that's worshiping God. Or you listen to the radio or you put in a worship CD or a worship MP3 now, right? That's what we use these days, okay? Whatever that is. You put in that worship music and that's worshiping. And I'm not saying, you know, that's part of it. That's part of worship. But really, what is worship? What is worship? And is it just when we listen to Hillsong or whatever Christian group out there is singing worship music? Or is it when we're sitting here and singing out of the black hymn book? Is that worship? I think it can be part of worship, but I think worship is so much bigger than that for you and I as believers. It goes so much further than just the songs that we sing. And I think we're going to see that in verse 1 here. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Presenting our bodies a reasonable service. And that word reasonable there comes from the same word which we get the word logic from. Okay, we know what logic is. Well, that's logical, right? You see something, well, that makes sense because that's logical. So first we see that presenting our bodies to the Lord is a logical thing to do. That seems odd. You know, presenting our bodies as believers to the Lord is a logical thing to do. And then we see the word service. And it comes from the word which means to perform a sacred service. Okay? To perform a sacred service. It has a reference to the function that the Levites did in the Old Testament, you know, where they performed in the tabernacle and the temple. And it's connected to the idea of worship. That word service there is connected to the idea of worship. So therefore that phrase reasonable service means that presenting our bodies to the Lord is our logical service of worship before the Lord. Our reasonable service of worship before the Lord. In other words, our lives are totally presented to Him. Completely presented to Him. It says, present your bodies. You know, nothing says, I love you, Lord, like presenting our bodies, like a consecrated, dedicated, holy life. John 14:15-21 says that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And this is that surrendered life. This is that life that has nothing to do with being saved and putting our faith in Christ, but it has everything to do with because we are saved and because we have put our faith in Christ, we have a surrendered life to Him. If you keep my commandments, this is Jesus talking, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will disclose myself to him. That is our service of worship. Keeping his commandments, showing that we love him by surrendering our lives, surrendering our day-to-day life, our physical life, our life of worship, living out that truth that we have, living out truth with our lives that presented to him in service. But there's a challenge in that. There really is a challenge in that. And that challenge is that we're still in these mortal bodies, aren't we? You know, our spirit, our soul, and even our minds are thinking that, you know, this is what I want to do. I want to do everything in my life to glorify God. And yet we're still in these old physical bodies, huh? And every day we're reminded when we put our feet on that cold floor that we're still in these physical bodies. And these physical bodies, they still sin. But we're called to present our bodies. And this has reference to the flesh that you and I are still wearing around. Okay? And we're being told to present everything we are. Everything that we are. Our physical and our spiritual as a living sacrifice. Our physical bodies, you know, presenting them as, along with that sinful nature. God's calling us to present all that we have and all that we ever will be to Him. Presenting it to Him, giving it to Him. The word present there, or present, means to place at one's disposal. When you present something to somebody, okay, and you give that to somebody, what do they do with that? They use it at their disposal. They use it for what they want to use it for. It means that we're no longer holding anything back from God. We're no longer holding anything back from the Lord, but we place our all in all, everything that we are, into what? Into His service. into his service. You know, sometimes we don't like to hear that, do we? We don't like to hear that we place everything into his service, because what does that mean? It means that one day we may be taken out of a comfort zone to do something for his service. It means that one day we may have to do something that I just really don't want to do, because I place myself in his service. It's the idea here of total surrender. And we don't like to use that word surrender very much, do we? Because what does that imply? You know, if you're in war and you surrender, or you give up, you surrender, you are putting yourself at the disposal of whoever it is you're surrendering to. When we surrender to the Lord, when we truly surrender to the Lord in our Christian life as a believer, when we surrender to him, it means we put ourselves at his disposal for him to do what he wishes to do with us. People want to be saved, you know, but they're not willing to surrender to living out the truth. They're not willing to surrender to the truth that God has for us. We want to hold back. We want to be those Sunday Christians who, you know, we go to church on Sunday, but then we forget about presenting our lives to him during the week. And you know what? Just because maybe you're a pastor, you know, that doesn't change anything. There are times when I don't want to present myself as a living sacrifice. I don't want to present myself as surrendered. I don't want to surrender everything to him. There are those times when that's present. Present our lives. This word suggests a one-time idea that you know, we become believers and then we present our lives to the Lord. We surrender our lives to the Lord. To present our lives to the Lord, we must be present in our day-to-day and not just on Sunday. Okay? Presenting our lives to the Lord, presenting our lives as a sacrifice, presenting our lives in a surrendered way means that we need to be present from day to day in our lives. Okay? Every day must be a day of living out that truth. Not just a second thought, not just a passing moment that, well, you know, it's Wednesday, Sunday's coming, I got a few days to get myself together here. It's not like that. It's every day, every moment of that day, living a life that is living out the truth. There's a cause and effect here, okay? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of worship there. That service of worship, that reason, that logic. There's a logic behind why we want to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That cause and effect. Why do we present our bodies as a living sacrifice? Why do I want to present my body as a living sacrifice? Why do I want to surrender? Surrendering is hard, isn't it? Presenting my body in a service of worship is hard. Why is that? Because sometimes it causes me to do things I don't want to do. It causes me to live a life that is, it's good, but it can be hard. Uncomfortable conversation. Taking care of needs that are out there. Having to be involved with somebody's life that maybe I don't want to be involved with. That's that surrendered life. And then allowing the Lord to give you the joy, because when you do surrender, when you do present your bodies as a living sacrifice, the joy that you get out of that far exceeds that moment of doubt, that moment of time where it's like, I don't want to do that. But then we go back to the question of why do I do that? Why do I do that? It's that cause and effect. For, you know the saying, for every reaction, or for every action there is a reaction, right? Every action, there is a reaction. Notice the phrase there, therefore, by the mercies of God. It brings us to the reason, to the why do we live in truth? Why do I want to live in truth? Because of the mercies of God, the mercies of God. Because the fact that the redeemed are redeemed is only by God's pure grace. God's pure mercy is the only reason we are redeemed. We may ask, you know, why God would want to control our lives. You know, why does he want us to surrender our lives as a living sacrifice there? Why does he want to do this? Well, the reason is simple, that because he bought us at Calvary and we belong to him, and he knows what's best for us. He knows that a life that is surrendered to him, he knows that a life that is presented to him is going to be a life that is blessed. It's going to be a life that is full of joy. It's going to be a life it's full of life. You know, when we start living for him and our lives start reflecting a life that is living for others, it is pure joy. It is a blessing. Is it hard at times? Yes. Is it absolutely exhausting at times? Yes. But the joy that we get out of that, the blessing that we get out of that, far exceeds the blessing that we may be to somebody else. The reason is because he bought us at Calvary and we belong to him. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For you've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your bodies." Because we have been bought with a price, we present ourselves that living sacrifice. He values his possessions. He values what he bought, and he bought you with a price. Just as we value things that we have, he values us. May we never forget that we didn't care a thing about God. Before we put our faith in God, we didn't care a thing about him. We may have thought about it. You know, we may have thought, but did, you know, a person who has not put their faith in Christ as their Savior, you know, do they think about surrendering their life to God? No, they don't really. It is only you and I, as we put our faith in God, that we can even can think of, I want to surrender my life to him. He values his possession. He bought us with a price, and we are not the world's. 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, "You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men." Do not become slaves of men. So let that teach us that cause and effect. The cause and effect. The action that causes the reaction. The why that causes the reaction. The logic behind presenting our bodies as a sacrifice. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me." The cause, our redemption. The cause, our salvation. The cause, you know, Christ being our Messiah, our salvation, by the mercies of God, by his lavish grace to us. That is the cause. And the effect? The effect of that cause of redemption, the effect of that cause of salvation, is a surrendered life. It is a living sacrifice, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. It is living out truth. Living out truth. Worship is a living sacrifice, isn't it? Worship, you know, like I said, it's not just about what's in the hymn book, but it's every day, every moment. And it's a physical act. Because he says, present your bodies as a service of worship. The physical act. You know, when we think of that sacrifice, you know, worship is that living sacrifice. But when you think of sacrifice, it usually brings to mind what? You think of the Old Testament, don't you? And the animal sacrifices of the Old Testament and the Bible times. You know, the animal belonged to a person that was sacrificing it. It meant what for that animal? That animal was going to die. Wasn't it? It meant certain death for the animal that was to be sacrificed. Blood was shed. Okay? It wasn't like you just killed the animal. Blood was shed for that sacrifice. Flesh was burnt on an altar. And that doesn't sound like something that, you know, if you're maybe not a hunter, or maybe you are a hunter, you know, there's something squeamish about that whole idea of an animal even dying and then, you know, draining the blood and burning as a sacrifice. The difference between what the Lord is calling us to do, the difference between what the Lord is calling us to do to be a living sacrifice and what he called the people in the Old Testament time to do is this, is that their sacrifice was what? It was going to die. It was going to die. Our sacrifice, what's it say? Is to live. Is to live. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what kind of sacrifice? A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. There are some similarities between our sacrifice and theirs. And you know, now just as then, that sacrifice the Lord is asking us to make, is it's costly, isn't it? It's costly. It's going to take time. It's going to take resources. It's painful sometimes. As you maybe minister to people and you see the hurt that they are in and the hurt that it is causing, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be personal. It's going to be necessary. And God is asking every one of us. We put our faith in Christ. He's asking us. He's asking his people to lay totally themselves down on that altar of sacrifice. But at the same time, the sacrifice must continue to function in the world around us. We're to be a living sacrifice. Living means what? That we are functioning, doesn't it? Living means that we are functioning in the world that God has us in. It's confusing, but I think that, you know, there's some ideas to consider here in this sacrifice. First of all, you know, that a living sacrifice means that we are to be living out the truth wherever we are. Wherever we are, whether it's inside this building or out in that parking lot or at home, at work, at school, wherever that may be, are we living out that truth? The sacrifice of living out our truth. We're living sacrifice in our day-to-day lives. And it doesn't matter where we're at. It doesn't matter what setting we're at. Another one, a living sacrifice means that constant, continuous sacrifice. It's a sacrifice that is living, that continues online. It's not something that we do from time to time. But we're to offer this body of ours up to the Lord and never ask for it back, are we? It's His. We present it to Him for Him to use. And it's not like, well, okay, this week I'm going to present. I'm not busy this week. My schedule's pretty clear, you know. So this is a good week for me to present my body a living sacrifice to the Lord, right? My calendar's clear, Lord. Use me as you will. But the following week, it's going to be a busy week. So I'm going to withdraw that. Okay, that's not how it works, is it? Even in those busy moments, maybe even those times where we are the you know, absolutely flat out with a busy schedule, and it happens, we still are presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. We're presenting our bodies as a service of worship. A living sacrifice means that we sacrifice our own desires for those of the Lord's. Okay? We sacrifice our own desires for the Lord's desire and what He is. To be a living sacrifice means that the body does not live for the world, okay? But that everything the body does is living out truth in God's Word. It's living out the truth that He has for us, that He's given to us. A living sacrifice means that we're devoted to the task of serving God. And you know, serving God doesn't mean, well, I got to go into full-time ministry now. No. We can serve God wherever we are, even in those little things, to be that encouragement to somebody, to present the gospel. How's that? To tell somebody about the love of Christ, to tell somebody that, you know what, a faith in your Savior is going to give you an eternity of joy and peace and hope. A living sacrifice is not just for Sunday. It's not just for Sunday. And you know what? For some people, Sunday is the only day that we have off, isn't it? It's the only day that some people truly have off. And yet, you know, you got to get up in the morning and go to church. That's a sacrifice, isn't it? That is a sacrifice. I recognize that as a sacrifice. It implies that every action and activity in our life glorifies and honors God. And every day that, you know, we walk through the doors of our house and go out into the real world, we are presenting our bodies as a service of worship. You know, so what kind of sacrifice are we looking at here in this verse? What kind of sacrifice? An acceptable sacrifice. And that word acceptable there means well-pleasing, satisfying. An acceptable sacrifice honors the Lord. It proves His power. It proves His glory. We want to have that service of worship, that sacrifice, that surrendered life is going to glorify Him. It is going to show His power. It's going to tell a lost world that God makes a difference in the lives that He touches. Doesn't it? That's what our surrendered life should do. That's what our life that is presented to the Lord should do. Our actions live out true. It's our reasonable service, our logical service. And it is a service. And service is done for who? It's done for the Lord, but who is it done to? other people, isn't it? Other people. And you could put that into whatever kind of category we want to put that in. But everything that we do is done for others, isn't it? Whether it's we go build a house, okay, or work in the food center, or whatever it is, it's always there to bless somebody else. That's that service of worship, using our hands. We can't have service for others if we're not in the community, if we're not at where, you know, where people are at. That service of worship, that ministry to people that you and I can have. Well, living out truth also, not just, you know, becoming that living sacrifice, okay? But there's a part of you to be a living sacrifice, to present our bodies. There's a change in our thinking that has to occur, doesn't it? There's a change in how we see things, including ourselves, has to occur in verse 2 there. Romans verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So we move on to the mind aspect. Okay, verse 1 talking about that physical aspect where we present our bodies as a service of worship, where we present our bodies as a service to others and in the worship of God. Okay, now we move on to the mind, or, you know, what we're thinking, the mind aspect of living out our truth. And when we get to the mind to think truth as it should, our actions will be living out truth. Okay, when our minds begin to think truth, our lives are going to live out that truth, because what's inside comes out from the outside. We're commanded to be not conformed to this world, not to be conformed to this world, not to be conformed to the trends, to the cultures of this world. The word conform there means to fashion or to shape. Okay, it literally means to mold. Okay, if you've ever poured something into a mold, like chocolate, have you ever poured a chocolate into a mold? It takes on the shape that the mold is, right? That idea of being molded into that conformity. We're not to allow the world to squeeze us into its mold. We're not to allow the world to make us like it is. The trends of the world, to fit into those trends. We're to recognize what those trends are and compare them to that truth there. We're not to allow the world to do that. You see, the world and those who are controlled by its influences are very different from that which, you know, God intends us to have and to be. They're very different. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 and 21, it gives us a glimpse. It shows us a clear picture of the world and the works of the flesh. It says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Living out the truth is not letting our minds fall prey to those trends. You know, if you look at that list in Galatians chapter 5 there, they're trends that we see now, aren't they? They're trends that were back then and how people acted. Are they magnified now? Well, maybe because of media and all that. Are they the same as they were back then? Yeah. Maybe a little different. But living out truth is not letting our minds fall prey to these trends and those ideas. And then we're told that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that word transformed there gives us our English word metamorphosis. I like that word, metamorphosis. It describes the transformation of a caterpillar goes through to become a butterfly. Did you know that caterpillars become butterflies? Some people don't know that. Most people, I think, know that, but some people may not know that. But what happens when a caterpillar enters the cocoon and later emerges? You know, so what happens is that part of that insect that resides on the inside is allowed to be manifested on the outside. You see, the butterfly was always there. The butterfly was always inside of that caterpillar, but when it puts itself in that cocoon, what was on the inside comes out. I know there's a scientific name for that. It's called metamorphosis, right? It metamorphs into whatever it is. Well, it's the same idea that the change God wants to effect on each of us. You see, He moved into our hearts when He saved us. When we put our faith in Him, Christ came and lives in us. No longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. Okay? He transformed our spirit and changed us into His child. And now He wants to transform the mind so that we're living out that truth. We're living out the truth that He has given to us. And what we need to remember is that in this flesh, we will do what the mind tells it to do. Okay? And it's only when the mind is changed and brought under the power of God that the flesh can be brought under control. It's that idea that as we renew our minds, with truth, with the truth of what God tells us, what the truth of what we see in His Word, which is truth, okay, we begin to transform ourselves, our condition, which is here, into our position, which is here. And gradually, it's that growth, isn't it? It's that progressive sanctification that we have as believers, where one day we will, our physical bodies, our bodies will be where our position is. But for now, we're right here. And every day is a growing process where our condition grows closer and closer and closer to our position. That metamorphosis, that renewing of our mind. So how is it accomplished? How is that accomplished? Surrendering every aspect of our life by filling our minds with the Word of God, filling our minds with the truth. That's how you renew something. When you renew the oil in your car, what are you doing? You're taking the old oil out and you're putting new oil in. You're renewing the oil. I think we call that an oil change, right? By filling our mind with the Word of God, know the truth so well that a lie cannot penetrate it. Know the truth about who you are. Know the truth about who you are. Living out truth, you need to know who you are. Not who I say you are, not who you say you are, but who God says that you are. And everything else isn't truth. There may be elements of truth, but if God's Word doesn't say this of you, then it is not truth. It is not truth. So what are some of the things that the Lord says about you? And we've gone through some of these before. But first of all, you're being conformed to the image of Christ. You're not being conformed to the world. You're being conformed to the image of Christ. Romans 8:29. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among the brethren. You're called, you're justified, and you're glorified by Christ. Romans 8:30. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. That is the truth of who you are. The truth of who you are. You are more than a conqueror through Christ. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. You see, we just don't conquer. We overwhelmingly conquer. Overwhelmingly conquer. We're inseparable from the love of Christ. Truth about you. Truth about me. When everyone around you is trying to tell you that, you know, God doesn't love you. You did that? I can't believe you did that. God doesn't love you anymore. You've heard it. When you've blown it, you've heard it. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other, what's that say? Created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Hey, and you know what that means? Not even you can separate yourself from the love of God. And who is your best critic? You. And when I mean best, I don't mean like best critic. It's like, who is your worst critic? Me. You are your worst critic. Don't let yourself tell you that you are not accepted by God. Do not let yourself tell you the lie that God does not love you, or that God could not love you, or cannot love you. Because when you put your faith in Christ, when you believed in Him for salvation, do you know what He did? He came to dwell inside of you, and He said that nothing will separate you from my love, not even you. You're accepted by Christ to the glory of God. Therefore, accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. You don't feel accepted? That's a lie. The truth about who you are is that you are accepted. You're being renewed day by day. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Renewing our mind, renewed day by day. Position, condition, renewed day by day, by day, by day. Till one day those two are going to connect. One day those two are going to connect when we're in, you know, and it may not be tomorrow. Because while we're here in these bodies right here, while these bodies are still here and not resurrected, they're not going to connect. But one day those are going to connect when our position of who God says we are is going to connect with our condition there. Being renewed day by day. You are a new creation in Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. That is truth about you. That is truth about who you are. And not because I said it. Not because I put the verses up on the screen there. It's not because I have it written in my notes. Okay? It's because God's word says that that is true of you. He said that the truth about you are these things. There are many, many more of these types of truths throughout God's word. Know the truth. Know the truth so that the lie cannot seep in. Renew your minds. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Replace what the world says about you. Replace those trends. Replace what it says about you with what the Lord says about you. The truth is you are who you are because of what God said. You are who you are. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your truth again. We thank you that we can have a place that we can go to so that we can see your truth and we can make that the priority of our life. And then as we make that the priority of our life, we can live out what that truth is, Lord. That we can live out a life that is presented to you. Live out a life that is a living sacrifice to you. Live out a life that is a service of worship to you, Lord. Lord, as we renew our minds, I just pray that the doubts that we have, the struggles that we have will be replaced with the truth of who you say that we are. And as we see the truth of who we are, we will live that out in our day-to-day life. Amen.